Welcome you all. So, as you remember, maybe months ago, we were looking through first letter of John. So, if you remember, I know you remember that we talked about why John wrote this letter to the believers, because back then false teaching was infiltrating in the church. And what was the false teaching that it was coming? The Gnostics were saying Jesus didn't come in flesh. So John, being one of the disciples that, and the, I think I can say this, the only disciple that he was constantly next to, attached to Jesus, so-called. You remember in the Last Supper, he says he was leaning. And every time, John was very close to Christ. And when we are reading in his letter on in the Gospel of John, how he clearly represents that, no, Jesus came in flesh, about the incarnation. When we read Gospel of John, you remember it starts with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, He was with God, and He came and He put on flesh, and the Word became flesh. And as we read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, he's saying the same way. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. Very clearly, John is representing that, no, Christ came in flesh. You can't deny that. You can say that He didn't come in flesh, but you can't put that false teaching to me or towards our fellow believers. So he wrote this letter to them. There were two things that he exposed in his letter. False teachers, and he exposed false teachers, and the other thing that he wanted for the Christians was that the believers have that assurance of salvation, that when they believed in Christ, they were saved. When they were trusting Christ, they had that salvation. They can't think that that false teaching can put an effect in their life. So John's aim was this, that Christ came in flesh. And those who believed in Christ incarnated, those are the ones that are truly saved. And he wrote this letter around AD 90. And that was the main thing. And we can hang everything from these two things, that Christ came in flesh, the incarnation of Christ, and the salvation of believers that believe that Jesus Christ revealed in flesh. And as we went through, we talked about the first chapter, verses 1 to 4, is talking about the incarnation of the Word. And verses 5 to 10 in the first chapter is talking about God is light. How God is light. This is the message, he says in verse 5. We have heard from Him and announced to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. That God, that Christ, that is God incarnated in flesh, He came. That God is light. And He revealed His light. If we read Gospel of John 9:5, He says, I am the light of the world. Christ is saying, one of the I ams. And as we go through, as we went through, we saw in chapter 2, it's talking about, John is talking about, not only Christ is the life, not only is the Word that put on flesh, He came to this world, not only that, but He is our advocate. One of the beautiful things that we can see in Christianity is the Christ being our advocate. He is our advocate. He is the one This is what he says in verse 1 in chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When Jesus was ascending in heaven, he says, I am going to my Father, to your Father. And I will be there. And now John is, in fact, putting the seal that, yes, Christ went and he's with the Father. When he also, as I said, chapter 1, Gospel of John 1, says, the Word was with God. And that Word came and put on flesh, revealed himself. So here John is saying, the advocator is not something that he's in the air floating around. He's with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The true Christ, the only advocator for us, for those who sin. And if you remember verse 1:9 in chapter 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who? The incarnated Christ. Who? The advocator. Which one? The only advocator that is with God. He is with God, and our trust is upon that advocator. And when we confess our sin, we know, as he promised, as we read, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And isn't that comforting? We have no doubt. Now, that is why John is writing, look, you've confessed, you've surrendered your life to Christ. Never doubt upon that, that you don't have it. Or, I have salvation. Do really God has forgiven me? Never doubt. That's why John is writing. Because, as I told last time, when this false teaching came into church, that time, back then, and still now, in a different color, but the same message, same false thing, that Christ didn't come in flesh. When he, if that is true, that means there is no cross. That means there is no salvation. That means everything that Jesus, starting from Genesis 3:15, the promise that God gave to Adam and Eve, till the end, everything will be false. But John, not only John, all the apostles, the Bible, starting from Genesis to Revelation, affirms that Christ came. He was the seed of the woman. He's our great high priest. He's our King of kings. He's our Lord of lords. He's our mediator. He stands between God and man, reconciling, as Paul says. It's a beautiful thing. You know, you have no hope in this. You're, as Paul in Ephesians says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were rot. We were rotten. No good thing. Says, Christ filled that middle gap between holding the hands of sinners and holy God reconciling. There is no other advocate. There is no one that... We all know that. We all know that because God's Word is clearly telling us. So John is saying, look, my little children, we've got an advocate. We've got Christ who revealed in flesh. Don't never doubt that. And verse 2, again he's affirming, chapter 2, verse 2, again he's affirming, we talked about this. He himself, not any other one, not Paul, not David, not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, not Peter, not John himself, not any person, but he himself is a propitiation for our sins. Not our good works. They can't be our propitiation for our sins. Not my parents, not my pastor, not my what. No person, John is clearly saying, he himself, As if he is not enough, he's putting himself there. No, don't go anywhere. You can't find a way out. He himself is our propitiation for our sins. Not for ours alone, he says, but also for those of the whole world. By this, we know that we have come to know him if we know his commandments. How beautifully John is putting for them. It is clear. He's putting so clearly that there is no doubt for that believers, that Christians back then. Not only that, for us today. Do you doubt anything about that? That can be my good works that helps me out? Can I help out with my own bootstrap to be a person that doesn't sin or has no sin? Can that work out for me? The way John is putting is leaving us in a spot that we can't bring some other things instead of Christ himself, our advocator, our propitiation, God that revealed himself. Then we went to, as we came forward, John is talking about that now that you're new believers or new Christians, this is what is how it works. He says, verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him. We all know when in the Bible it is talking about knowing Christ or knowing God, it's not talking just, oh yeah, I know there is God, or I know there is Christ. When John is saying, the one who says, I come to know him, is that relationship that he has with God, with Christ, through Christ, with God. Now that I have come to know him, and does not, the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Isn't that as we read, we go forward, we see how John puts it, makes it more clear for us. There is no room for us to think about that, oh, maybe, okay, I can 90% God, 10%, 10% me, that's 100%, we are good, let's go. Or maybe 99% God, 1% me, no. There's no such a thing, John is saying. No, it's he himself, no one else. It's he who put on flesh, he incarnated. It's his word that works in our life. And when we obey this word, John is saying, we obey it. We prove that we come to know. If we don't obey, that means we are a liar and there's nothing. But whoever keeps his word, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Can you see in 2 verses, 3 times, I think, it says no. Knowing him, it's important. Not, as I said, by, I know God or something very plain. But rather the fellowship, the relationship that a person can have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the point. That's the point John is trying to prove, trying to get his message to the Christians back then and today for us. No doubt for us. There's no room to doubt. I'm not saying we won't doubt, but we can't stay in the doubt. That's what I'm saying. We can't think and start meditating, juggling up. Oh, maybe this happened, or maybe that happened. I think because of this or because of that. No. John is so clear that a small child can understand. If I understand with my low IQ, if we say, how much more you all that have got so high IQ? And in fact, it's true. John, like imagine you are writing a letter to someone. You're writing a letter to someone, and then you make it so complicated that that person can't understand. Then why are you writing the letter? Might as well don't write it. Why God is giving His word, and it's being complicated that we can't understand. So what's the use of that? But John proves, one of the things that he proves is this. So clearly he puts that he says, look, if you don't keep His commandment, you say, I know Him, which we have many today. Yeah, we can see many today. And even in churches, that's why Peter says, judgment will start from God's house. And no wonder that, that mega churches you see, all those so-called church, they've got so many people there attending. And if you ask them, just simple question, how a person, like you go there, ask him or her, say, look, I want to be a Christian. Sit there, listen to the sermon, you will know. You come out and ask them, how can I be a Christian? And the first thing that they would say, God loves you. God, as you've heard, has a wonderful plan for you. Yeah, God had a wonderful plan. He had a wonderful plan for Paul. He had a wonderful plan for Peter to be crucified upside down. That was not His wonderful plan. The wonderful plan was up in heaven. God has a wonderful plan for every single person that knows Him and obeys His word. Maybe we go through hard times, but John here is saying, look, the point, the cornerstone of your life is not your hard times or your good times or your whatever. The cornerstone for you is God's word, God Himself, Christ Jesus. So John, as he's going, and we read, as we read, he says, verse 6, the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. This is Christianity. Christianity is so 101. Like, if somebody asks you, what is your standard of Christian life? We can say this one. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. We read so quickly and we say, we go forward, ought himself to walk. That's not just walking, we know that. It's a lifestyle. The one who says that I am in Him or and He is in me has to live a life that will show that Christ is in me. That Christ is in me. The same manner. The same way as He walked, we have to walk. The same way that Christ lived the life when He was on the earth. John is saying to the believers back then and today, to us, the same way that Jesus lived. And it was fresh for them. 8 years ago, yes, they wished Jesus. We heard, some of them may saw Him. We heard from His disciples how He lived. The same manner Christ lived, John is saying, you have to live like that. And we wash our hands and say, we can't do that. Yeah, that's what it is. We can't. That's what it is. No one can walk as He walked. That's why Christ is saying, come to me. That's the main point. The lifestyle of a Christian, it's not a celebrity or even a pastor. Any single person in a church, it's not our lifestyle. It's not our look upon. You now, that pops in your mind, the verse, no? Hebrews look upon to Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, of the faith. So John is saying, look, you want to look, believers, Christians, your look must be upon Himself, the Advocator, the incarnated Christ, the only way, the truth, the only God, the only Good Shepherd. The manner that He walked, this is our lifestyle. No other way. No other manner, if we say, no other way there is for us to make an example for our life. So John is saying, then we go to today's verses that we want to look through, 7:11 from, that's not the gas station, it's verse 7 to, yeah. So verse 7 to 11, but we'll read to 14. We'll read to 14. It says, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passed away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. How, as we read through, as we went through first chapter till chapter 2, verses 14, we see no foggy area there. Everything was clear. Everything is clear for us. That's the point that John is going for. He wants to make God's word clear for his listeners or readers. There were back then the readers, or the same thing for them, and even today for us. Until the end of the age, the day that everything finished, this word so clearly is being revealed to the church, to the believers. As I said, just a newborn Christian and can read and understand. There is no complication in this that you can't. There's nothing hard in it that you say, oh, I didn't understand anything. It's so clear, John. And he got to his point, and that was the work of the Holy Spirit back then, today, until the end. That's so clear. He's saying, I'm writing to you a commandment. Beloved, how John, as you know all, he's a disciple of love. In his gospel, we see in the letters, and when you're reading Revelation, you don't see much of a so-called obvious love there. It's everything, judgment. But in his letters and in the gospel, how lovingly, how closely he gets to the believers, and he reveals the truth, the word of God to them. So clear. He says, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment. There's something that already Christ taught us. When you remember Sermon on the Mountain, what happened when the Beatitudes, he came, he says, he saw his disciples, he sat, and he started to talk to the disciples. But the congregation, people were there, and they came and listened to him. But he was teaching his disciples. He wasn't teaching to others. And he started. And he started teaching them. And John is saying, it's not something new I'm going to reveal to you. You've heard this from the beginning. It's an old commandment. The word which you have heard. Then he comes, now this is new for you. The truth he is talking about. And he's coming and explaining what is new for you, you think. Which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says, now the result of the newness is this. The one who says he is in the light, as you remember John 9:5, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now he's saying, you that you say, I am in Christ, who says he is in the light, because Christ is the light, yet hates his brother, is in the darkness until now. Is in the darkness until now. One of the problems in the church or in every believer is this love and hate. Either they take the love extreme or they take the hate extreme. We sometimes get confused what to love, whom to love, or what to hate or whom to hate. So you may say, oh, whom to hate, it's not a right thing. No, what I'm saying whom to hate is the attitude of the person, not him himself or herself. But here John is saying, you can't say, I'm in the light and you hate your brother. How a Christian can hate his brother, or we put the sisters in there too. It's not only brothers. Sometimes it's hard for us to think, oh, how I can love this person or love that person. Not unbelievers, I'm talking about believers. Sometimes, he's so annoying, she is so annoying. He talks too much, she talks too much. His or her expectation is very high. We know. We all have gone through that things. And we learn from that we cut back those things. That it's totally different. Like, a brother that comes, a sister that comes, has a false understanding of God's word. You get upset. You don't get upset on him or her, but the false understanding. But you don't rush on them just to prove that I'm very zealous for God's word. That's something else. But here, John is saying, you can't say that I am in the light, I am in Christ, and I hate my brother. That action of yours proves that you're in the darkness and you're confused, or you can't discern between light and darkness. That's very clear. It says if you're in the light and hate your brother, you're in darkness. Is that a hard thing? No, it's a simple thing. But very as simple it is, we very simply fall in it. That's the problem. But John is encouraging us that we don't need to do that. So the one who hates, the one who loves his brother abides in the light. Now, he said the negative part. Now he's saying the positive part of it. So the false part, the truth part. Now, when I'm saying negative, positive, it's not a negative, positive attitude. Or think positive. No. It's not like that. The truth part. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. And there is no case for stumbling in him. Cause for stumbling in him. When John is saying, if you're in Christ, you're in light, as I said, as John is saying in 9:5, I am the light, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. if we are abiding in Him, if we are in Him, because we are in Him, there is no stumbling place for us. The word abide, I was looking, dwell, endure, be present, stand, tarry, remain. It says continually dwelling. The one, not just, okay, I am now and off I go. No. When it says abide, it says it's a continuous thing. When we are in Christ, John is saying, that abiding, that knowing can't be only for a season or a day or a week or a month. The time is the same way as you've heard. When we are born in a family, we can't say, the day I was born, I was a member of that family. After a month or two, no more I'm a member of a family. Even though you don't live with your family, you're far at the end there, and your family is far at the end of that world. If they ask you, who is your parent, you're going to name your parent. Still, we are the family. Same thing as John is saying. That abiding, it's not just one-off abiding and finish it off. When the day you accept, you so-called, you accept Christ, when Christ changed your life, you were regenerated. It's not that only, finish. No. Written in the book of life, was written before the foundation of the world. God chose us. So, our abiding is not something, when I feel good, I abide in Christ. When I'm not good, off I go. No. Abiding in Christ is constantly. If we have come to know Christ, and Christ has changed our life, the very day we are in God's family and finish till eternity. So John is saying, the one who loves his brother abides in light, in the light, if we can say, in Christ. And there is nothing so-called stumbling in him. So John is writing to the believers, look, now that you are in Christ, it's finished and done. It's truth. The truth is revealed to you, and you know the truth, that Christ came in flesh, that Christ is our advocator. He is our propitiation. He is the only way for our forgiveness of sin. There's no one else that can stand between holy God and sinful man. No other person, no human being, no angel, nothing. Only Christ. And that's very clearly said from John to the believers and today to us. That you may know when you're saved completely, and you have to abide. And that abiding is constant abiding. It's not one-off. Even though in my very low point that I am in my life, I'm still in Christ. The point is not me. If the point was me, there goes everything. The point is Jesus Christ. It's not because of me. It's because of Him. He Himself. It's not He, myself, or me, myself. It's He. It's Christ Himself. Let me read the verse again. Chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1, 2, I'll read. John is saying, my little children, I am writing these things to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself, no other one, He Himself is our propitiation for our sins. He Himself is our propitiation. John is saying, when you abide in Him, He is your advocate. He is your propitiator. He is stand the middleman. Then on verse 11 he says, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The God of this world, you remember Paul says to Corinthians, the God of this world blinded their eyes. Four verses, constantly John is saying, blinded, in darkness, in light. The point here, it's clear for us that we have to walk in light. We have to abide in light. We have to be in Christ. That's why we love our brothers. We love our sisters. No matter what. The Bible, as you remember, says it's a mirror and a window. You look in it, you see yourself. You look through it, you see others. The Bible, God's Word, is a mirror and a window. We look in it, we see how wretched we are and how God has forgiven us. And with that wretchedness, how God is caring and taking and looking after us and adopting us in His family. A sinner like me and like you. A wretched sinner. And so John, again, as I said, is saying, if you think, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going. He has no idea. Why? Because none of us can. I remember I didn't have the night light in our living room. At night I went to drink water. Even though being there in that house for 15 years, 18 years, I went out and I banged my head to the wall. That's how. We all have that experience. Now, if I ask you, do you have, obviously most of us will say, yeah, we had that experience. Walking in darkness, even though you're familiar with that, because you're a bit sleepy and you can't discern between the wall and the way, so you go in the wall. But John is saying, look, in the darkness, you can't go forward much. You can't. You will bang your head. In the darkness, you won't end up in the right place. You see, if you see the, the lights at the sea, they put that, I forgot the name. Lighthouse. Yeah. The lighthouse. The ships in the old times, they look at it, they come towards that light. They have a point. That lighthouse, it's Christ for us. That lighthouse, it's God's Word for us. We look in it, we find ourselves. We look through it, we see our brothers and sisters. That's why we can forgive each other. That's what John is saying. Look through it. Look through the Word to your brothers and sisters, and you will forgive and love and care for them. I'll try to go to... No, I won't try. No, I'll try, okay. Verse 12, I am writing to you little children because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. What do you see? As you read, you go forward, what do you see? You see constantly His name, your sins, forgiveness you've got because of His name. What's going on here? John sees, as I said, the two points. One, false teaching, Gnostic teaching. He wants to stand against sending this letter. The other thing, Christians, you have salvation. Don't doubt about your salvation. Because your salvation rests not on John's letter, but on God's Word. Not on John, Paul, Peter, or Mark, or Matthew, or whatever. It rests upon Christ. Because of that, you must not doubt. And today is same for us. Not because of we are excited, we are coming to church, our pastor is preaching, or someone else is preaching, I'm very excited, and I got goosebumps because of that, I'm sure, and off I go, a meter of church and there goes all the air out and I've got nothing. No, because of Christ, never changes. What he says, my word stays, never changes. Not jot or tittle will fall. My word doesn't come back void to me, Christ says. It will go. It will go and put an effect. For some salvation, for some judgment. If that word goes and doesn't put an effect, that's not the word. This is the word of the living God. That's why when we look in it, we can see ourselves. When we look through it, we can love others. John, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His namesake, Christ's namesake. I'm writing to fathers because you know Him, who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. How John is setting them to get them to the point that he knows it's the truth, that they may say, okay, we are firm and we know that we are saved. We know that salvation that we have in Christ is the true salvation and no one else can give that salvation to us. The fathers, the young men, the children, every single one of you, because of His name, He Himself is your advocate. Because of that, you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. The young men are strong. And because they are young, they are strong. No. Because Word of God abides in you. Not because we are young. Not because we are young. Because the cause of our strength and our ongoing, our perseverance, our love to each other, to God's Word, it's because of God's Word. It's not outside of it. That's why we can say we have, John is saying, you have, not you will, or maybe, you have. It's done deal. The deal is done. The seal, as Christ died and He said, it is finished. One of the things is, it is finished. Your salvation is done deal. You have overcome the evil. That's why in Hebrews it says, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Not looking to you. You are the finisher of your faith. None of us. Even a second, we'll go down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength and mind. Which one of us love Him for a second with all our strength, heart and mind? None of us. Constantly breaking, falling short. That's why. Because of Him, He Himself, He is our advocate. Because of His name's sake. Not because we are young, we are strong. No, because of God. The Word of God abides. The same thing that concerns us relates to us. We have to abide in Him and it's constantly. And that same thing is now here. Word of God abides. It's constantly in us because of Him. That's why we have overcome. So, we'll finish here. God willing, next Wednesday we will continue verses 15 and we'll see how it goes to 24. And John is talking about, again he's talking about love. Isn't love amazing? Love not the world. Love not the world. This time he's going to talk about and so negative love. You don't need to love the world. And we know by saying not loving the world, not the people rather than their lifestyle and everything. But here, John revealed to the believers that my fellow believers, my brother and my sisters in Christ, your salvation is done deal. Never doubt. Never think about, did Jesus left a bit for me that I have to do? If we've got that attitude, that understanding, might as well we go and leave everything. A single bit, if it depends on us, it won't last. Not a second. So it's all from Him, for Him. I've heard Steve Lawson saying, God saved, I think R.C. Sproul also said, God saved us from Him. And that's true. If God didn't save us, His judgment, not angels' judgment, but His judgment would fall upon us. And God saved us from Himself, for Himself, to glorify His name, not my name, your name. And that's true for every single believer. And that's what John is saying. My beloved, my little children, love the Lord your God. My little children, it's because of Him you stand. And never doubt about that standing of yours. Let's pray and we will finish.